Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, March 29th, 2022. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time big book study meeting. Today we are reading from the big book. We are in the doctor's opinion on page XXV. We're going to be unpacking way down at the bottom, paragraph 6, and finish it out on the next page with Very Truly Yours, William D. Silkworth. So look at paragraph 6, and it begins with, these facts appear to be of extreme medical importance. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Lorraine N., the 12 traditions, Leslie M. Reading the text today, Stephanie L., Shelley E., and Dana P., and support with the rest of the meeting for newcomers and sponsors and announcements is Dana P. and Eileen M. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting number is, that would be Monday, March 28, 2022, 18745, 18,745. And then the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting this morning, Tuesday, March 29, 2022, would be 18750, 18,750. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lorraine N. to please read the 12 traditions. I'm so sorry, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lorraine N. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to read the steps. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lorraine. And Lorraine's from Oregon. I will now ask Leslie M. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. Thank you, Melanie, for your service. Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service this month, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Leslie M. from New York. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording for later, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And the note here is the star 1 key function only for muting purposes. Thank you. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, The Doctor's Opinion, in the Roman numerals on page XXV. We're beginning now with unpacking paragraph 6 down at the bottom. Begins with, these facts appear to be of extreme medical importance. And then we're going to conclude with the top of XXVI with Very Truly Yours, William D. Silkworth. And what I'd like to do is have Stephanie L. read those few lines there and describe for us her experience with those directions. And then we're going to open up for the remainder of the fellowship here to share on those topics. Thank you. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. This is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. These facts appear to be of extreme medical importance because of the extraordinary possibilities of rapid growth inherent in this group. They may mark a new epoch in the annals of alcoholism. These men may well have a remedy for thousands of such situations. You may rely absolutely on anything they say about themselves. Very truly yours, William D. Silkworth, MD. Oh, it's so cool that we are in the doctor's opinion, you guys. I'm excited to start here again. And I just want to just break down a couple things. So this paragraph starts with these facts. And what are these facts, right? We learned in a couple paragraphs above that, you know, that these men, 100 men and women, have recovered from a hopeless state of body and mind. And that is my experience here as well, going from hopeless to recovered, obsessed, crazy, can't think of anything else but, you know, getting my fix to a quiet mind and connected to a power greater than myself. That is amazing. But the deal here is, so these facts that these people have recovered is of extreme medical importance because they didn't have a solution. You know, all those years ago, and guess what? today, they still don't have a solution for my problem. They don't have a solution for the alcoholism problem other than these 12 steps to find this spiritual solution. And the medical community doesn't have a solution for my food problem, right? And then it says on the next page that, you know, they may mark a new epoch, and I'm probably saying the word wrong, but I looked it up, and it's a period of time in history marked by notable events, right? The beginning of a distinct period in history. So, you know, they marked, you know, this growth, this solution that these 100 men and women have found, this relief that they have found, marks a new period of time in history in, you know, the pursuit of recovery from alcoholism, which is pretty amazing, right? Because if this hadn't happened, I don't know where I would be today. So, you know, this, they're setting us up. The doctor is basically saying, you know, he's going to tell us more in his letter, but this book is going to show us specifically how to find this spiritual solution to my spiritual problem, right? And you know, he's prophesizing that there may be a remedy for thousands of such situations, and we know now millions and millions of such solutions. And then he says that, you know, we may rely absolutely on anything they say about themselves and what they did and what worked. And you know, in the first, I don't know if it was the first edition and the second edition. I'm not sure. I'm not a great historian, but I know that Dr. Silkworth couldn't, you know, he passed on putting his name on this letter because these ideas were so radical, and he would have been, you know, looked at as, you know, he would have been ridiculed in his community. And as, you know, more people recovered, he put his name to it. So it's pretty amazing. So I can't wait to hear what everyone else has to say. And thank you so much for letting me share. Okay.
Thank you very much, Stephanie L. And Stephanie L. from California. Now we're going to open up the lines for additional comments on those few lines. It starts at the bottom of page XXV in the doctor's opinion with "these facts appear to be of extreme medical importance" and ends with the top of XXVI with "very truly yours, William D. Silkworth. Am I willing to rely absolutely on what they say about themselves in this book?" Although we do value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I'd like to take the first name, first initial, and perhaps state. That's about six individuals.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Chris S.
Hi, Chris S. Mm-hmm. Who's next?
Laura K.
One, Laura K. Okay, let's go with those three. So the time's a ticking here. We want to hear what y'all say. Donna B., Chris S., and Laura K. Up first, Donna B., good morning to you. Star one, please.
Good morning. Yes, good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. What jumps out at me this morning is that you may rely absolutely on anything they say about themselves. When I work with a newcomer or with a sponsee, what I have at my disposal is the book and my experience. I cannot say anything with absolute reliance of its truth about anything else outside of my experience in recovery. I can only speak about myself, speaking from my heart, speaking from my experience. And even that is pretty amazing. Because it is my experience that alcoholics, addicts, compulsive overeaters are prone to dishonesty. And I, too, have a history of being dishonest. There was a time in which I just lied openly and blatantly. No, I did not eat that. No, you know, I did not vomit. No, I, you know, whatever the lies were to cover up my disease. But I know that today, even while entirely abstinent and living in the steps, I'm still capable of dishonesty. And I see that on a daily basis when I do my inventory. So if I am prone to being selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and fearful, is it really true that people can rely absolutely on anything I say about myself? And I think that still stands, even despite my defects of character. Because I'm as honest as I can be. And I reveal as much as I'm capable of really revealing at that moment. And I always have my experience and my story of how I came to be entirely abstinent and how I came to work the steps and continue to live in the steps. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much. Donna B., next up is Chris S., and then following Chris will be Laura. Okay. Hi, Chris.
Hi, good morning. This is Chris S., and I'm from Wyoming, and I am a compulsive eater and a chocoholic. I've suffered for this disease for so long. I didn't gain over 400 pounds. I didn't sit in my home all huddled and isolated, but I had to live with this disease, and I had to walk the walk with this disease for so long, and I didn't know what it was until 5 months ago. I came to OA and became completely abstinent. And to read the words that I'm hearing today as I begin to share what's going to happen in the future with other people, because I've gone through the steps to be at step 12 now and to be able to reach out to others to share with them how significant this program is and how important it can be in one's life if only we take that first step of willingness. And so when the reading of the doctor's opinion occurred this morning, it was so apropos. It says these facts appear to be of extreme medical importance, but what really touched me was when Stephanie L. said, "The medical community has no solution to my food problem." And that is so absolutely true. How many times have I wanted a diet pill to work or asked the doctor to help me lose weight? That I know we can do this together with my pill or with my scale or with my program. I could not do this until I found the God of my understanding and made the willingness, the effort, and the consistent desire through my sponsors. And I say sponsors, I love y'all, and through the words that have been shared by so many people here on the Vision for You and through the podcasts and through so much other opportunities of OA and AA literature to learn more about what this program, this way of life has to offer. So thank you all from the bottom of my heart. And I only hope that I can be a sponsor that God wants me to be. And with this, I pass.
Thank you very much, Chris S. Thank you for your share. And I wanted to let you know before Laura K. comes up to give her share that we are in the doctor's opinion on page XXV. Taking apart this morning, the few lines starting with the sixth paragraph, these facts appear to be of extreme medical importance, and finishing up on page XXVI with very truly yours, William D. Selkworth. And you've happened upon the Big Book Study of Compulsive Overeaters of Alcoholics Anonymous, a vision for you. But for now, let's listen to Laura K. share her 3 minutes, and then we'll open up the lines again for additional comments. Good morning. Star 1, Laura.
Hi, this is Laura Kay from California.
Good morning.
And I really love this paragraph. I really do, these sentences. What jumped out at me is, you may rely absolutely on anything they say about themselves. I rely absolutely on the big book and visions. I went from hopeless to helpful. I haven't sponsored yet, but I sure do hope to. I've been through the steps twice. I have a great sponsor, and I listen to visions every day. It's been a little while since I've been on here, and I thank everyone for their service. God just told me to come on, I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. Been a compulsive overeater since long as I can remember, 4 or 5 years old. And the life that I live now is so different from the life I led a year ago, 2 years ago. It is just so wonderful and God-centered. You know, pray to God and He will answer your prayers. He answered mine when He led me to this program. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for your share. Appreciate that, Laura. And although we do value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, we'd love to hear from you. Press star one, please. Give me your name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state, and we'll take another lineup this morning.
Sean P. from California.
Sean P. California.
Wendy B. from California.
Wendy B. California.
V.
V like Victor. Gotcha. Thank you. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, let's go up with Sean P. from California, then Wendy V., and then we'll open up lines again.
Good morning.
You're
I'm
on,
Sean P. Thanks. Good morning. I'm Sean P. Compulsive eater, recovered, not cured, thanks to the grace of a higher power and all of you. Yeah, I also really appreciated this line from the doctor. You may rely absolutely on anything they say about themselves. I'm struck by that we can know ourselves that well. These founding members of AA can know themselves that well that we can trust them. And, you know, it reminds me the power of this big book is not that it gives us commandments that we have to follow. The big book gives us what they say in another spiritual tradition I'm a part of, mindfulness trainings. These are directions that we can use, take it or leave it. But if we use them, we will come to know ourselves. And this, I think, is the greatest thing we have to share is our own experience, that the big book is a collection of experiences. These are the stories at the back of the book. This is the compilation of the first 164, is a compilation of experiences that in their lived experience, this is what they have found. They recovered because they did these things. And so what are the tools that I use to know myself? Meditation, prayer, really asking God for guidance, and then reflecting on what I pray about, right? When I pray, I can ask myself, oh, is this what I really mean? Is this what I really want in my life? Working the steps, doing an inventory, you know, really writing out. I'm doing an inventory right now on my faith of my childhood, and it's not easy. You know, I've got a lot of pain around that. So it's really helpful for me to know myself and know that about myself. And then just journaling in general, doing those 10 steps, right? Really knowing myself, knowing my side of the street, knowing what is my part in the difficulties that are in my life. So these are the tools that I'm using to know myself, and I'm just so grateful to Vision for you. I've been absent now for about 4 months, And I really thank it. I really give thanks to the vision for you. It's re-inspired my love for OA meetings and the Big Book text. So thanks, everybody.
Hey, Sean, thank you for your share. How do you spell your first name?
S-E-A-N.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Next up is Wendy V. Before we open up again for additional comments on paragraph 6.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
SSV.
Hi, good morning, everyone. What I see in this line is, or the whole doctor's opinion is, that this man of sane mind and body was willing to go out on the limb. And I was imagining a room full of drunks and how nobody would turn to a room full of drunks and say, you can rely on anything they say. So this man was willing to go out on the limb and vouch for an alcoholic who he had absolutely seen change and put his whole career and everything on the line because he absolutely believed in the changes that he saw. And he saw something working that even he couldn't make happen, and was willing to write a whole chapter, letter, couple letters, and vouch for a couple of erratic drunks who he absolutely saw change. That to me is very impressive, and he had to have absolutely seen that in order to believe that. And that's what I see in this group. My name is Wendy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wendy V. from California. Okay, we're going to open up the lines again for additional comments. Get ready to press star one. You'll find us at paragraph 6 at the bottom of XXV, the doctor's opinion, and it begins with, these facts appear to be of extreme medical importance. And then we're going to unpack until we get to very truly yours, William D. Silkworth. Who would like to comment on those few lines about step one, getting abstinent?
Mary Ellen
Jordan
T.
L.
I got Mary Ellen T. And Jordan L. Okay, let's go with Mary Ellen T. She's up first, and then Jordan, you'll follow.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning,
Mary Ellen.
Thank you. Good morning. Can I be heard?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. Oops.
Okay, I think I did it.
You did.
Can you hear me?
Hi, Mary Ellen.
Okay,
I sure can.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. My name is Mary Ellen T, and I live in Oregon. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered because of studying the Big Book with you guys on A Vision for You. And every day, it's a miracle for me. The growing awareness and depth and understanding of my powerlessness continues to grow, even in the recovered state. But just the realization of, there was nothing I could do to control my eating and to control my thinking and obsession around trying to control my eating. And it really had to be a miracle that was going to save me. But I didn't realize it at the time. I didn't realize it when I walked into these meeting rooms that it was going to have to be a miracle. But that's what I think when I look at these lines from Dr. Silkworth. And, that I can be relied upon and that I can be trusted. That anything I say about myself and my recovery, my journey, and that to me is another miracle, because for you to be able to rely on me and for you to be able to trust the things that I said before recovery, it was the exact opposite. Now today I'm able to show up with consistency. I'm able to share the message from my own experience, and I'm just utterly grateful. And I thank God every day for the Big Book and Dr. Silkworth and Ebby and these vision meetings and for you all who share the message, because that's how I've learned and that's how I've grown and that's how I've clung on to different phrases that have just really helped me through my journey. That's it for me. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mary Ellen T. Jordan L., you're up next for 3 minutes.
Hey, good morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be on a meeting this morning and abstinent. I'm going to cheat a little bit. I wasn't able to be on the meeting yesterday, but I'm going to guess that we read the paragraph before this. And I think it's really important to point out for these paragraphs that other methods had failed completely. Like the doctor, he's saying here, excuse me, what the doctor is saying here is that, like, as far as he can tell, this spiritual remedy is of extreme medical importance. Like, no wonder he didn't want to put his name on this to begin with, you know? he was probably afraid of being, like, laughed out of the medical profession. Like, doctors didn't say stuff like that, you know? I think it's a little bit different today. Like, Western medicine is evolved like everything else, but for a doctor to say that, like, this spiritual remedy or this virtuous movement where these alcoholics are helping each other free of charge is of extreme medical importance, like, that's a big statement to make, for sure. And I think the reason that he's making it is because other methods had failed completely, you know? The religious methods had failed completely. The medical methods had failed completely. And so he's talking about these alcoholics helping each other to a solution. You may rely absolutely on anything they say about themselves. I was able, when I came in to Overeaters Anonymous in 2017 for the third time, I was able to get really, really, really clear. I had a lot of experience, so I was able to get really clear about step one and what that is for me, what exactly that looks like in my life, in my food history, and be able to describe that in detail to a newcomer, you know? And that's exactly what I did. Like, I got on the phone. I still get on the phone today and talk to people who are willing to listen about that first step, you know? Okay. And, like, for a thorough description, takes about an hour to go through a thorough description of that first step. So thanks so much for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you very much, Jordan L. Jordan from Colorado. Anyone else like to comment on those two lines in the doctor's opinion, starting with paragraph 6? Press star 1, please. I'd like to get your name, your first initial, your last name, and your seat, perhaps. Looks like we have time for probably at least 4 to 5 more 3-minute shares.
Christina M. in Massachusetts.
Christina M., hi.
Catherine N.
Ronnie B. in Missouri.
Laura L. Okay. Well, Catherine, where were you from? Catherine, where did you say you were
Virginia.
From? I did hear you, Laura. Virginia. Okay. Thank you. Catherine N. Okay. And Ronnie B. and Laura L. Where are you from, Laura?
Barbara W. in Washington State.
Barbara,
I'm in Arkansas.
Arkansas, okay. Okay, let's go with that many. Let's see what happens with our time. Thank you very much for stepping in there. Christina M., you're first, and then Catherine N. will follow. Everyone else, want to press star one real quick?
Thanks so much. Hi, everyone. This is Christina M., compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. Thank you, Melanie, for your service. This is, you know, I feel like this is just speaking to me this morning, like in so many ways that as we're studying the book, I feel like it points me to other places in the book that I remember and that like so many people have shared. You may rely absolutely on anything they say about themselves. You know, this is something that I have found to be true for myself. And it, what it made me think of is the line on page 124, cling to the thought that in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have, the key to life and happiness for others. With it, you can avert death and misery for them. I feel like through working the steps in this program and studying the book in this way, I have come to see that my dark past with compulsive overeating is actually a possession that I can share with another compulsive overeater. And it's been the same for me. When I talk to other compulsive overeaters, I had been to doctors, I had been to nutritionists and other, you know, professionals who tried to help me, and I could not hear what they were saying. It was only when I talked to another compulsive overeater who ate the way that I ate, who felt the way that I felt, that I could hear this message, that there was something, that there was a remedy for me that I could never find despite decades of trying to find help in sort of the outside world and the medical profession. And I think, you know, one of the things that has struck me as we started reading the doctor's opinion and starting from the beginning and being reminded that this is, you know, how many years ago this was taking place is that, you know, the disease never changes. And that's why this, to me, this text still feels so alive, is that, you know, my disease is the same as the disease as it's described in, I think it's 1939. And so, you know, the solution and the remedy is the same. And so, you know, the fact that we can rely on each other, you know, that my stories about compulsive overeating are real. And when I share them with another person, another compulsive overeater, and I know I'm almost out of time, that's why we can connect within like 30 seconds on the phone or in person, whatever it is. So there's just so much hope there. So thanks, everybody. I really appreciate this meeting.
Thank you very much, Christina. And from Massachusetts, Catherine N. from Virginia, you're up now for 3 minutes.
Hi. Catherine N. from Virginia, compulsive overeater. Thank you for this meeting. I had an experience once where, my father was in the ICU and there was no way he was going to live. And the doctor came in and admitted that there was nothing else he could do for him. It's very unusual, you know, for a doctor, say Dr. Soapworth, to say that, you know, medical means are not going to cure alcoholics and or compulsive overeaters, that it has to come, you know, the cure has to come from a power greater than ourselves and from others who have had the experience of the misery of compulsive overeating. And, I'm really grateful that, you know, Bill and Bob came together and founded this fellowship and, carry the message to others who've gotten us here today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Catherine Ann from Virginia. Next up is Ronnie B. from Missouri. Then Laura L., you'll follow her in 3 minutes.
Okay, thank you. Ronnie B., Missouri, compulsive overeater for sure. I love reading the big books. I can't call myself a thumper because I don't have that kind of memory, but I can tell you I've read it enough times that it's all familiar when it comes back. Although there are some chapters that I'm like, oh, where did that phrase come from? Like, that's brand new. Of course, I just missed it. What stood out to me in a big way is Dr. Silkworth saying, you can basically believe what they have to say. Because my history includes a lot of lying. And of course, over the years, Silkworth has seen a lot of dishonesty. Truthfully, I'll say just in me, right? And people like me. And how the truth has been an evolving thing for me. You know, yes, I can tell the truth if I go to the store and they give me a dollar extra, I can give the dollar back. Okay, that's good. But that's kind of topical. For me, the truth for me is that every day looking at the 10-step sheet, was I dishonest, right? And there are so many things. I can be dishonest by an outright lie, or I can be dishonest by omission, or by what I call co-signing, right? I see crap going on and in someone else's life, maybe someone I sponsor, right? Or wherever, and I co-sign on that. You know, I don't want to address it. I don't want to do the confrontation. What's people going to think about me if I say this? You know, and I've had people. I've had people get angry or even let me go because who do I think I am to say something? Well, I think I'm your sponsor. And part of what I need to do is not land blast anyone, but bring to someone's attention when I see a defect that could lead back to eating, that could lead back to anorexic, whatever it happens to be, right? And so I need people to do that with me. And, you know, I'm fortunate that I have a sponsor with a perfect balance for me, right? And I remember one time we were doing a 10-step, and one of the questions was, where do you see yourself playing God? And I was pretty darn sure that right there, that needs to be addressed. I was pretty darn sure that I wasn't. And so I said, actually, in this case, I don't see it. Do you see it? Well, the floodgates open. She said, actually, I do.
That would be time. And
time. Okay. So I just want to say, honesty is like really an ongoing way for me to get better. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you very much, Ronnie. Laura L., you're up next, and then Barbara, you'll follow to tie us up there. I guess finish this out is what I want to say. Hey, Laura.
Good morning. This is Laura L. I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict from Arkansas, waking up in Indianapolis this morning. I'm so grateful for this call and this fellowship of people, and I want to thank everyone for your service and your shares. What jumps out at me from this reading is, in the first sentence, the extraordinary possibilities of rapid growth inherent in this group. And then in the next sentence, may well have a remedy for thousands of such situations. And I want to stay with singleness of purpose and only talk about OA. But this, of course, was originally written for alcoholics. But this method that was developed is a remedy for thousands of such situations, and I'm so grateful for this method, for the 12 steps. And you know, maybe they had an inkling that this would be applied in thousands of other situations like OA, and people that have compulsive overeating and other food disorders. Maybe they thought of all different manner of ways this could be applied, but I am personally grateful for I think I'm on day 17 of food abstinence, and I'm just very grateful that these people came together and helped form the solution. And I'm learning, I'm having to relearn every day that I have to rely on my higher power, on the God of my understanding, in order to have a daily reprieve. but I would not have any of that knowledge without this original group of people. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Laura L. Barbara W., you're up for 3 minutes.
Thank you. Good morning. Barbara W. here from Seattle, Washington, recovered. Thank you very much. Most grateful. What comes to mind when I read this, the word rely, and I thought of the phrase in the big book called reliance, not defiance. And so I know somewhere talked about defiance is one of the traits of an addict. And anybody who has an addiction of some sort. And I can remember thinking of all the thoughts that used to run through my mind when I was defiant and wanting to do this by myself and the different plans of eating that I tried. That was my defiance. I knew what to do. I've read enough books. I've listened to enough people. I know what to do. And it never got me anywhere, at least for a while, temporarily for a few weeks or a couple of months, a few months, but never on the long term. And here I am approaching on April 1st, 23 months of abstinence. And I realized that this has come about because of what I'm grateful for is that reliance on a power much greater than myself. And the neutrality I found around food, but I had to rely, I had to trust, I had to believe that this was going to work, that in the vision program there was acceptance and friendship that I have never known before. And anytime I find myself slipping or getting scared, it's like it finds its way back to me. That higher power, well, basically I'm the one that moved away. I find that this higher power has been a gift and that I can rely on that higher power for anything that goes on in my life. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Barbara W. from Washington. It looks like we have room for probably 1 minute share if somebody would like to take that. Oh, it looks like we just lost that 1 minute. The clock just switched. But thanks again, Barbara W. And that will begin the wrap-up of our recorded portion of our meeting. So I would like to have you all stay around, though, to the top of the hour, because there's a lot more to come after the recording has stopped. But in the meantime, I would like to ask Shelley E. to please read from page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then we'll end with a serenity prayer together. Hi there, Shelley.
Hey, good morning, Melanie. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
I'll wait just a moment here for recording.